Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together Naso Shlishi, the third Aliyah in Parshas Naso. This is a short Aliyah. It is from the beginning of Perek Hey, Psukim Aleph to Yud, and is 10 Psukim long. And the main topic seems to be a hodgepodge at the initial perspective of different ideas. There is what's called Shiluach Machanos, those who are sent out of the camps. There is theft and there is Truma. Let's understand each of them on their own grounds. We'll try to put a little bit of a sense of order into it by the next Aliyah when we get to Revi'i. In the meantime, for the first thing is Shiluach Machanos. Moshe is commanded that anyone who is a Tzarua or a Zav or impure, a person who is leprous, has Tzaras, Zav has a spiritual flow, which is a spiritual disease which impacts bodily fluids which are emitted, that there's different laws as to how a Zav acts, so he is also a Shiluach Machanos, and then finally there's a person who's impure by coming into contact with a dead person. Those people need to be sent out of the camps, whether they are female or whether they are male, the Torah tells us, and that is what's done. B'nai Israel now expel or send out from their camps these three categories of people. The next section we hear about is about Gezel, a person who's found guilty against Hashem. Sounds a little bit ambiguous at first what this is about, but then we hear about them admitting to their sin and they need to pay back the person they hurt, the capital of what they stole, and a fifth, an additional penalty to that owner. If the person who was the victim has no relatives, that penalty and that capital is given to the Kohen. And finally, we hear at the last pasuk of Aliyah, V'ish es kedoshav lo yihyu ish asher yitain la-kohen lo yihyu, a person shall keep his kedoshim and give it to the Kohen. A little bit of an ambiguous pasuk as well. Let's try to understand the basics over here. First question is who are sent out of the camps and why? Rashi points out there are three camps. We just heard about the camps being established. There is the Machane Shechina, that's where the Mishkan is. There is the Machane Leviyah, that's where the Leviyim are in their first concentric circle around the Mishkan. And then there's Machane Yisrael, which is where the 12 tribes are encamped around the Leviyim. A Tzarua, a person who has leprosy, is expelled from all three camps. The Zav, a person who has some sort of spiritual disease emission from their body, is sent out of only Machane Shechina and Machane Leviyah, but they can be in the regular camp of Israel. And there's a Tamei Lenefesh, a person who is impure because of coming in contact with the dead. That person is only excluded from the Machane Shechina, which is the actual Mishkan itself. Why is this over here? Why is this put right now? So the Bechor Shor, Yosef Bechor Shor, explains that we've just finished hearing about how they set up the camps. We just heard about the Degolim and the camps and who's where. Now that we've set that up, that's why we know. Here are the rules, the regulations for how these camps and these boundaries work. Boundaries need rules. Rashi says, no, this was actually a little earlier. Although the counting was done during the month of Iyar, as we saw at the beginning of Bamidbar, this law was actually given at the time that the Mishkan was set up in Nisan, which will explain why it is later on that the people from Pesach Sheni demand Pesach Sheni, because now they realize that they're Tomei LeNefesh, they can't come to the Mishkan, so that's why they're going to need a Pesach Sheni, as we'll see when we get to Parshas Ba'aloyscha. The Arachaim HaKadosh also points out that we just heard about the regulations of boundaries of the Levium. The Levium can't do what the Kohanim are supposed to be doing. So now we hear about the regular populace. They also have boundaries as well. That's why it's set up right after this as well. Now, why is the parasha of Yahu Ashram Gezelus here? A person who steals from another person has to return a penalty, bring a special Ashram, which is a guilt offering. It actually comes up in Vayikra Perikhe, at the very end of Parshas Vayikra. Why is it mentioned here again in Parshas Naso? Rashi points out there are two additional details which are added here. One is vidui, the person has to admit to be able to be in this category. And number two is gezel ager, if a person steals from a ger, a person who converted to Judaism. What's that about? Rashi points out that who is a person who does not have relatives? How is that possible? You can always go back in the family line. So Rashi explains, if a person converted to Judaism and did not marry or have children in Israel, then in fact, biologically, even though they may have family, they're not halachically related to them. That could be a situation where, in fact, that penalty and that capital go back to the Kohen, not to their family, because there is no halachic family in this situation as well. Again, we see that the focus of the paragraph is the food goes to the Kohen. And finally, why is Truma being re-emphasized here at the end of the Aliyah? It seems almost as if the reason why we bring Gezel Ager is to talk about giving it to the Kohen, and then we re-emphasize Truma going to the Kohen. So there's a few interesting halachas we learn from this pasuk, on pasuk Yud in the fifth parak, that the owners have to have Toas Anah, which which means that they get to choose which coin they give it to. They have that element of ownership in it for that. We also hear about how the coin really deserves it, but cannot extort it himself. We also hear about the fact that the coin who brings the sacrifice gets certain parts of the sacrifice, but the owners get the skin. The owners get certain parts of the korban themselves. And finally, the Medrash also points out that a person who doesn't give Truman Meister when they should or when they have will end up needing it themselves. So a lot is learned out of this pasuk. But it all seems to add up to the idea of the hierarchy in society. And that is that the kohen is given the responsibility and right to serve in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, and that endows them with certain levels of leadership, and that's expressed over here as we finish this particular section. This closes Aliyah Shlishi. We're going to go into Aliyah Revi and see how this all hangs together. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.